here we go on a Wednesday morning. It is time for your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast from the studios at Grand Forks Best Source. Been a few weeks since we've talked to him. Real estate expert John Brodeen's in the house. We'll talk with him in just a minute.
What would tomorrow look like if you sold your house today? Maybe you'd move to a new city or a new country. Maybe you'd pick up birding or birdies. You could get into wine. Not that into wine. Or skiing. Warmer skiing. Or maybe you'd spend more time doing nothing at all. When you're ready for whatever comes next, we'll be ready to help you get there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
And here he is, the one, the only, John Brodeen, real estate expert.
Hey, hey.
Hey. Been a while.
I know.
In fact, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, it's only been 3 weeks, but then I was gone that week.
Yeah.
So it's probably been like 6 weeks since I've seen you.
Yep.
Something like that.
It has been.
Yeah. How you been? How's the family?
Good. Yeah, doing really good. I'm trying to get going on a bunch of house projects right now. So
your own house?
Yeah, my own house.
And how's that treating you?
It's okay. I have to. My basement, I had water in the basement in 2019 when we had those heavy rains.
Yep.
So I ripped out my carpet then, and then I basically just used my basement as storage since then. So I had a bunch of junk I had to get out of my basement and put in my garage because I'm getting it painted and getting flooring or carpet put in and all this. So I've been working away like crazy, parking in the driveway because the garage is full of junk and being ready to throw it out for spring cleanup.
That's funny because I was out of town back when that happened.
Yeah, oh no.
And I had just finished my basement, brand new carpet, all everything. And I come home to a squishy floor. And
were you able to save it?
Yep. Okay, yeah, I was. And my flooring guy said, we can redo this. It's going to be a lot of work. So I had to cut it out. I couldn't cut it at the seams. So I had to cut it out room by room. So imagine wet carpet from a whole entire living room rolled up, trying to get up the steps and around and out. And I actually had to rent a storage unit just for a place to have so I could disinfect everything and keep it off the ground on 5 gallon buckets to dry properly. And it was a big pain in my butt.
You probably saved yourself a good chunk of money.
I did. I did.
By doing that.
Yeah. And of course, so I had an outside sump pump put in.
Yep. I did too.
I had more water damage than in 97.
Oh, mine got damp originally. I was out of town as well just for the night. It was in Fargo for something. And then I was at work, that Monday, and the ground stayed so saturated for quite a while. Well, my sump pump tripped the breaker. Quit working, came home to even more water in the basement. At first, I had everything soaked up and done, but then this was too much, so I decided to...
Faulty sump pump, though, at least you get a little bit of insurance money out of that deal.
Yeah, I got insurance money for it. So.
Yeah, I had to cut 2 feet off of my whole basement off the walls. Sheetrock. And then I had an outdoor sump put in, because I've got one on the inside, and that thing, I don't think it's... ran one time since.
Oh, really? Mine's run. Mine ran especially that year.
Oh, it did, huh?
Because the ground...
Yeah, well, might have a little bit then, but it hasn't since.
Yeah, it doesn't run a whole lot.
Yeah.
But those are great. Gary Dube did mine, and did a whole bunch of them, and he does a really good job.
Yeah, I had Austin Pierce do mine. There's your shout-out, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe we should probably talk about real estate stuff first. We keep talking about flooded basements.
It's kind of real estate related.
Well, it is kind of, I guess. Hey, this has been a unique year.
Yeah.
Winter was really nothing compared to last year. We were still in winter at this time last year, but how's the spring market? How's it doing compared to years past?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that makes any difference with snow on the ground. I'm sure it does just in people's moods and things.
Yeah. So we're shooting this here on the 1st. So I just actually pulled all my numbers because I'm going to be shooting a market update later today to do my monthly market update. So to give people a picture of where things are at right now, there's 138 active listings on the market. I'll go over the most important things. 138 active listings on the market, 60 homes went pending in the past month. When you take 138 divided by 60, so that basically tells us how long it would take for all of the inventory to sell out, if it continued selling at the current pace that it's selling until it was all gone, it would take about 2.3 months. So that means there's 2.3 months of inventory on the market. At this point last year, in April of last year, it was 2.31 months of inventory, and I think that was the second hottest seller's market of the year last year was April. May was the hottest seller's market of the year, where the months of inventory was 2.25. So pretty similar to where we're at this year. It'll be interesting to see, like, this year, April is the hottest seller's market of the year so far. It'll be interesting to see if it stays that way or if May ends up being hotter.
Is that a typical thing, April being
very
a hot
typical
month?
It is. Yes. Okay. So, like, April was the hottest market of the year in 2020. That's when the months of inventory was 1.88, so lower. Mm-hmm. It was an even hotter market than it was in 2023 and 2024 this time. 2021, April was also the hottest seller's market of the year, 1.82 months of inventory. Big difference, though, in 2020, if you'll remember. In 2020, June was the hottest seller's market of the year with 3.05 months of inventory. So the hottest market of the year in 2020 was slower than, you know, April of this year.
Yeah.
But in April of 2020, the months of inventory was 5.76, which is almost a balanced market.
Oh, sure.
So that's a lot of inventory. At that point in time, there were 259 listings on the market. Like I said, right now we've got 138. COVID was really going crazy during April. Everybody was really, like, you know, locked in their houses and not working and stuff. So there's a lot of uncertainty in April. And then it rebounded in June. And then it really picked up since then.
Right.
But the hottest seller's market of the year over the last, like, 4 years was 2021.
Okay. Yeah. Now, when you talk about these numbers, 1.88, 1.82, was that when interest rates were lower, too? And does how much of a difference does that make? I don't even know what they're at now, but I've had people tell me that they're incredibly high, and I'm like, are they incredibly high, or are they just higher than they were because they were incredibly low?
They're incredibly high for what we've been used to over the past 20 years, I'd mm-hmm. say. So right now they're 3.75, or sorry, 3.7. I wish
that's not so bad.
7.375.
Oh, it did go up that much. Okay.
Sorry to give everybody that jump scare. So last year in April, there were 6.375. In 2022 in April, there were 5.25. And then the hottest year, remember we said, was 2021.
Mm-hmm.
In April of 2021, there were 2.875. And in 2020, when April was a pretty slow month, it was 3.25.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to be kind of depressed about the current interest rates, those numbers will sure help them with that. You know, people do anticipate rates to come down within the next year. It was kind of supposed to happen before the end of this year, but then the CPI cost... consumer price index numbers came out at the end of Q1, and they showed more inflation than we anticipated. And I think the unemployment wasn't where they wanted to see it. So Fed rate didn't get lowered at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, with the months of inventory being 2.3 right now, it's still a pretty hot market for rates being as high as they are, especially because the balance point in the market is like in that 5 to 6 months of inventory range.
Mm-hmm.
Anything less than that is a seller's market. So you can tell we're a long ways away from being a balanced market. We're still very much a seller's market.
Yeah.
You know, even lower than we were in April of last year when rates were 1% lower than they are currently. Last year there was less activity in April, but there were only 104 listings on the market in April. So last year, we had maybe a little bit later spring rush, and that could have been weather-related as well, like you mentioned.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you got 30 more listings, Somebody is actually texted a question in for you, John. Do you have an opinion on or what would you say the housing needs in Grand Forks are?
You know, I guess when – I think a lot of people who own existing homes aren't those homes aren't turning over quite as much because of that lock-in effect mm-hmm. that we discussed.
Sure.
So when rates come down, I don't know if anything really needs to happen, because if you had a whole bunch of inventory hit the market, buyer demand is still a bit lower because of those interest rates. So what's keeping prices going in the right direction for homeowners is the low inventory.
Okay.
So if you had a bunch of inventory hit the market, it would push, you know, it probably wouldn't be good for prices if you want prices
right.
up. So if you're a homeowner, you're probably fine with the way things are going. If you're wanting to make that move up home purchase, you probably are wishing rates were a little bit lower,
mm-hmm.
because that way you could move up to something without your payment skyrocketing. You know, we have, new construction going up in Grand Forks. In general, since like, I think, I don't have these numbers in front of me, but I think since like 2010, the number of homes built has just been much lower than in like every decade, the number of homes built has since 2010 has been much lower than previous decades. And that's part of the reason there's kind of a shortage nationwide. Now in our local market, you know, plenty of homes are going up. But yeah, it's hard to say what exactly our market needs here in Grand Forks. We're very affordable compared to the rest of the country.
Oh, sure, like, we are.
Our median income is slightly lower than the rest of the country. But when you take the median income, when you take the median sale price of a home, it's the median sale price of a home, I think, is about 4.6 times the median income in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Oh, okay.
And nationwide, the median home price is about 5.9 times the median income.
Sure.
So even when you're adjusting for incomes being slightly lower in Grand Forks, North Dakota, compared to being nationwide, homes are more affordable in Grand Forks by a long shot. The median sale price in the whole country is like 400 some thousand. Here it's like 265.
Yeah, wow. Very good response, she says. Thank you. Now, are companies still building new homes with the interest rates being as high and just hoping, you know what, people still need places to live and we got to keep building?
Yep, yep. You've still got, especially like Thompson Homes, for example, they build, the majority of their builds are more in that entry-level price point, and entry-level new construction homes start in the kind of mid-300s. They're putting up a lot of homes. They're out of Fargo, and it's a really, it's a nice product for the price, in my opinion. You know, it's, there's just not a ton of options as far as used homes on the market. You know, this is probably the best it's going to be as we get into the summer months, because like 88 new listings hit the market this month alone. That's a lot of new listings in Grand Forks.
Right. So. When you know, the spring market the way it is now, if you're a realty expert like yourself and anybody with the Berkshire Hathaway family, are there times for you guys to fret or worry, or is it just business as usual? You have your ups and your downs.
I mean, for me, I fret and worry when I'm slow. It doesn't necessarily mean the market's slow. There's been times when I've been slow and the market's been hot, and there's times when the market's been, where it's vice versa, market's slow and I've been busy.
Does John Brodeen panic?
I don't say I panic anymore. I used to panic a lot more in my early
I would imagine, estate,
but now I'm kind of, I'm a little more used to the ups and downs. Like, I might have a good year, I might, then the following year, I might, you know.
You've seen it all, homes. Basically.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more like, I've been wise with my money, so I'm a little bit more financially stable where I can weather a bad year of income. But it's not a good feeling when you're not very busy. And
No. So what do you do if you're not? Knowing you, what do you, you probably just go, you probably stay in your office and just crunch more numbers, knowing you.
Yeah. You know, I make a lot of content, so that, you know, I stay busy with that. If I, if I'm not busy with a ton of active clients, you know, it's, I don't know. It's, it's a little nerve wracking because you don't feel like you're being very productive. That's kind of the downside of being in real estate, is it's a little bit, it's a little, you can get into a slump.
Yeah. So you do pick up a broom and pretend you're sweeping the office.
No, they don't need me to do that. I'll try to, you know, touch base with some of my past clients.
I'll
talk to people. You know, I might take some clients that I normally wouldn't take, you know, maybe it's an out of town client or something. People that I normally would probably be too busy for that drive time, I'm able to take on those type of clients in some cases when I'm slower. You know, finding ways, but you got to just trust that eventually the phone will start ringing and people, you know, will start calling you to sell, because that's the majority of my business. I mean, I'd say like 90 some percent of my business comes from past clients, either so like repeat clients or referrals from past clients or referrals from people that know me. You know, it's, my business isn't as much like generating leads and calling people that don't know who I am. It's more people who know who I am already.
Yeah, right.
They've heard
you're established.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, there's stretches where the phone, there might be a month where the phone doesn't ring very much, and it makes you sweat a little bit.
Well, if how about we try to make this phone ring a little bit? Yeah. How does somebody get a hold of Realty Expert John Brodeen?
Yeah, so my number, you can call or text me, 701-213-5428. If you want to learn more about local real estate, learn more about buying and selling, check me out on all the social media platforms, John Brodine Realtor. You'll be able to find me on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everywhere. So,
all right. And you will be back Friday morning at 10?
Yes. Yep. I'll be back Friday morning.
All right. There you go. How the spring market is doing compared to years past. It's real estate expert John Brodine. That's your Wednesday edition of your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. Like we said, John will be back Friday morning at 10.